seated. Romans 1:6. This is a little high. Can we turn down the volume just a little bit? Very good. Okay, thank you. Romans 1:16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." I forgot to excuse the children. Children are excused. And we'll let a couple of adults go with them, okay? Romans 1:16 tells us, for Paul writing to the Roman church, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," meaning that everybody, can turn to the gospel and accept the gospel and be saved. There is no one who cannot be saved except for the unbeliever. The term or phrase "power of God" does not appear as such in the Old Testament. It talks about the power of God, but it refers to it as God's power, different indications concerning the power of God. It's mentioned many different ways. For example, Psalm 62:11 says, "God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." The term "power of God" is not recorded in the Old Testament. It's a New Testament term. The first time that it shows up is with the Sadducees, when they were trying to trick Christ, they were trying to expose him. And they talked about the lady who'd had 7 husbands. And when she died, which one was going to be her husband in heaven? And Jesus said they didn't know what they were talking about. He told them they were wrong because they didn't know of the scriptures. The scriptures of their time, because there was no New Testament at that time. It was being created. The power of God is not mentioned in the scriptures as such until after Jesus began his ministry on this earth. I believe that it would be a good thing for us to understand it. To understand a little more about the power of God so that we could better serve him as he calls each one of us to a ministry of our own. If you're sitting here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a ministry. And when your ministry is over, so is your life. So if you're still breathing this morning, you've still got something to do. And God wants you to do it. The power was not on display until Jesus started his ministry. The power of God was working throughout the Old Testament. It was working in the life of Noah, it was working. Some of these men were talking to God face to face. They were experiencing his power. Some of you, as you go with us in September up to see the ark, that first view of that ark is something else. If you haven't been, you get a chance to go. Because it's indescribable. Noah and his three sons built a vessel like that in their time. They did not have saber saws or skill saws or anything like that. And yet they were able to build a structure that you just won't believe. And they were not the ones who did it. God gave them the power to do that. Once Jesus started his ministry, God's power became evident. Excuse me. Matthew 28, 18, as Jesus was getting ready to depart, he told his disciples, and to the New Testament, us, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That pretty well covers it, folks. All power. Given to Jesus. When Jesus said that all power was given unto him, he was saying that he was the source for the manifestation of God's power here on earth. The Holy Spirit is the one working the power of God. The Spirit can be seen in various forms, but the Spirit itself cannot be seen, just like God. God is a Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Only Jesus is a visible part of God. Jesus took on the likeness of a man so that we could relate to his relationship and to a relationship with him. You understand? We don't handle invisibility very well. None of us do. Just as you can't see electricity, but you know it's there, and AB witnessed it when I grabbed a hold of a live wire. I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but he's there. And he is the power of God here among us today. Because Jesus Christ is no longer here. He's at the right hand of God in heaven, interceding for you, interceding for me, that we will be able to experience and utilize the power of God. Just as you can't see electricity. The reason he's among us is recorded in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, where Paul asked the question of the Corinthian church, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We can't feel the Holy Spirit. We can feel the Holy Spirit working when he is working within us. When Jesus appeared before the Sanhedrin, before his crucifixion, he was disappointed that they were not knowledgeable about the things of God. They were supposed to be the religious people. Part of our responsibility is to know about the things of God so that we can serve him in a way that he wants and expects us to serve him. Now, this is a very important point. Without knowledge about the power of God, we're going to attempt to serve him in our own power. me say that again. Without a knowledge of the power of God, you and I are going to attempt to serve Him in our own power, and we're going to fall flat on our spiritual face because we don't have the power to do what God wants us to do. He's going to give it to us as we need it. You have not come this far in life without God's power working in your life. Without God's power working in almost every situation you have ever been involved in, God is there to minister to you. The Holy Spirit is in you for the purpose of ministry, ministry to you and for you. The first thing that we have to do is we have to do what has been done to make that power available to us. We're told in God's word, 1 Corinthians 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved," what? "It is the power of God." The preaching of the cross, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of His blood upon that cross. That is the power of God working in you. God's power was applied to our soul and to our life when we were saved. Before that time, we could have been moral. We could have been honest. We could have been kind. We could have been loving. We could have been even generous with what the Lord was giving us. But those things are all works. And not by works of righteousness are we saved, but by the mercy and the grace of God. Why did we need to be saved? Well, Ezekiel 18:4. "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And every one of us had a dead soul. Every one of us. Because we sinned. Every moment that we put our trust in ourselves, we sin against God. God has a will, and our will and His will are different. Our souls, at the time we are saved, are given eternal life. One aspect of our life as a believer in the work of Jesus Christ is that we live by faith. And living by faith may not mean the same thing to every man and woman. Many people live by faith in themselves. You and I do that sometimes. But the faith that's being promoted in the Bible, there is a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. Neither are our ways God's ways. God's ways are much higher than ours. And His ways are supported by the power of God. The power of God is evident in so many different ways. We can see the beauty of His power in the aurora borealis, northern lights. We can see the same power in a beautiful sunset or a sunrise. All of creation displays his power. We can see his power in the thunderstorm and the earthquake. The hurricane demonstrates his power. But the same power is present when a baby is born. When it takes its first breath. We are experiencing the power of God when we're surrounded by the migration of monarch butterflies or Baltimore Orioles. We see the power of God all around us in the beautiful things he has made and the beautiful things he does for us. Are you sad when you see a rainbow? Double rainbow? It's exciting to our souls. And that's the power of God. We sense it. We realize it. God's power is all around us for our protection and for our benefit. We have to sometimes take some time get alone and consider God and who he is and what his power does for our life. And that's one of the tricks of the devil, folks. He doesn't give us time to get alone or time to sit down and just quietly think about him. If you're a hunter, a lot of ladies don't understand hunting, but you're getting alone with God. And you have a chance to talk to him and a chance to listen. It's not a one-way conversation, people, when we talk to God. He wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to us in many different ways. There are promises given to us in his word. And how will we ever know what those promises are if we don't spend time in his word every day? Let me share one promise that very few believers know that are among his promises to us. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 6. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 6. Though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. This is God's word. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. A reprobate is a person who does not have Jesus Christ in their heart. We've got quite a collection of them you can see in Washington, D.C. and sometimes in other government positions. People, we're all just normal people. And people have appetites that cause us to sin. We have this body we live in has appetites, and sometimes we sin unwillingly. That's what makes us weak. But God is going to cause us to live with Jesus Christ when this life is over. Not because we have been good and faithful, but because of the power of God acting upon our souls. When the power of God saves us, it is forever. You can never lose it. No matter what you do, God won't let you. It is not you that keeps you. It's God. And he's the one with the power. Now, mankind was not intended to operate in its own power. Mankind is fragile, and life is tenuous. We're not guaranteed one more day of life than God gives us. The power of God keeps us and supports us in our day-to-day activities. When God awakens us each morning, He has a task for us to perform. The task begins with gratitude for another day in which to serve Him. Oh, it may not be smooth sailing. In fact, it may get a little rough before the day comes to an end. And if we're serving God, we're going to experience some affliction as a normal part of our day. Paul cautioned Timothy in his second letter about experiencing and enduring such activity. 2 Timothy 1:7 through 9 says this, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's what we experience here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church. Love and sound minds. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Before the world began. I'd like for us to think about Sadducees and their approach to God and God's power. The Sadducees were supposed to be the people that know at that time the history of God's relationship to man. But they didn't know. Today, so many Christians don't know about God's power. We see a turbulent thunderstorm and we think about the power of God. We may even talk about the display of God's power in the storm as we watch it. I don't know about you, I do enjoy watching thunderstorms at a distance. Not when the lightning strikes a tree in the front yard. Okay. Or 15 air conditioning units here at the church, as it did one time. Yes, that is the power of God. Do you realize that God spends most of his power not in a lightning storm? God spends most of his power changing hearts and changing lives. And hopefully he has touched your life and changed your heart and made your soul alive again. That is the power of God. He wants to use you where you are. Not where you think you ought to be, but where you are right now. He wants to use you. He wants you to be a tool in his hand. And he has a purpose for you. Have you ever prayed about a situation you've been in and had God change somebody's mind? Yes, you have. That's the power of God at work for you. Just how dependent are you on the power of God this morning. Have you, and perhaps your mate, ever sat in a financial institution and been silently praying that things would be approved? Some of you who have bought homes maybe have been there at one time or another. How many hearts did God have to work on through that process to get you the approval that you desired? And did he do this for you? He did. If it was approved, he did this for you. You realize just how vast the power of God is and how often you try and tap into it. We pray for missionaries. Missionaries all over the world. And we expect God to reach down and bless them. They're not here. They're somewhere out there. Maybe in another country, another land, another continent. And the power of God can reach out there where they are. I love hearing missionary stories, to hear how God is working in other places, not just here. We don't have a guarantee. We don't have a way of keeping God here. God's power covers the entire universe. We pray for families in need, sometimes several states away. Loved ones for us. And the power of God is there. It's there to touch their hearts, to touch their lives, to provide for them. Have you ever prayed for the hungry with the expectation that God will meet the need? Think of what it means to ask God to feed the hungry. Think of what it means to be able to put food in this blessing box out here in front of the church and have it taken every day. And the ladies will tell you, it's taken every day. But the ladies don't make that food. The power of God grows it. And it doesn't grow it right now. It grew it last year. And some of it the year before. But that was God's power that makes that food available to not just out here, but to you, to me. And I don't miss my time at the trough. If I stand sideways, you can tell that. That's the power of God loving you, caring for you, providing for you. Do you realize how the power of God's involved when you go order a hamburger? It's available, and you order it. But what did it take to get that hamburger in your hand? Somewhere, a cow had to have a calf. That calf had to eat green grass and other things to grow up to be strong. It was butchered. Wheat was ground up to make a bun. Tomatoes had to be ripened in a field someplace to make the ketchup that goes on that. Cucumbers had to grow someplace for you to have pickles on it. Lettuce. Think of this. The power of God is in so intention in your life that he's providing for you every day. Probably most, if not all of us, will go eat some lunch someplace today. And we can do that because of the power of God. I don't know of a single farmer. I grew up on a farm, but I don't know of a single farmer that makes his crops to grow. It's the power of God that does that. The information was created to the first generation that if they plant seeds, they'll grow. Not instantly, but over time. Does God have anything to do with that? Does his creation have anything to do with that? How much of God's power did it take to bring you to the place you're at in life today? How much? Next time you think about the power of God, remember what he's doing for you. Peter tells us all about it in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Folks, the power of God is what brought you here. The power of God is what's going to take you home. And the power of God is what's going to help you to serve him according to his will for you. Father, we come before you, understanding that we are here because of your power. But more than just your power, your will, your knowledge, your understanding, your mercy, your grace. Father, so much comes to us because of your power. Do not let us forget why we are here. And Father, if there be someone here who has never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, may this be the day that they come to know him. May this be the day where they experience truly your power. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for providing for us, for caring for us, for ministering to our needs. May you be glorified by all that we do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.